The season of spring has come. There are budding trees and there are blossoming plants. The birds are singing, maybe too early for some. The grass is starting to green. There are flowers in the fields. The bees are making their rounds and terrifying my children. And the once domesticated but now wild rabbits of Gillette are once again claiming our neighborhoods and backyards as their own habitation. The sun's light lengthens. Like a bridegroom from his chamber, he runs his course with joy, and the whole creation springs up in the warmth of its light. Though it is true that all creation has been groaning in the pains of childbirth until this present time, awaiting the day when it will be liberated from decay and corruption, it yet rejoices and praises its maker, especially during this time of year, especially in the spring. And yet, the scriptures say that creation rejoices even more so when God's people are restored. As the prophet Isaiah records, "You will go out in joy and be led forth in peace. The mountains and hills will burst forth into song before you, and all the trees of the field will clap their hands." Pretty neat. As it is on earth, so it is in heaven. Even when just one sinner repents, all the angels burst forth in jubilation and praise the name of the Lord, our Savior. With all this joy, then, we must ask ourselves, "Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you in turmoil within me? Hope in God, for I shall again praise Him who is the health of my countenance, my God." Psalm 42. With all this joy around, why are we sad in our souls? The disciples knew our anguish, and even more so. Jesus said to them, "Most assuredly, I say to you that you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful." And indeed, they were. Do you want to know the deepest depression a man can truly ever suffer? Then look no further than the disciples on that night when Jesus spoke these words to them. The hour had come. Their joy, the joy of all men, was about to be taken from them. In a little while they would see Him no more. Like a heart being ripped from their chest, so Jesus was ripped from their presence, betrayed, beaten, mocked, scourged, and crucified, their joy put to death. In an instant, it was all extinguished. Deep, dark depression, weeping and lamenting, a sorrow more painful than death, a sorrow which has not been felt to this very day. But this sorrow had to come. This grief had to be felt and experienced. The very grief which Jesus took into His own body and bore on the cross, saying, my God, why have you forsaken me?" And yet this grief did not give birth to despair for our Lord. These labor pains did not end with death. For even in such great anguish, Jesus said, "Father, into your hands I commend my spirit." By His death on the cross, Jesus perfected our death and made this hour of deep depression into the very source of life and joy that can have no end. Jesus drank the cup of all suffering and woe. He drank your depression, your grief, the wrath that you deserve, that today he may bring to you the wine of gladness. That is the cup which we bless, his own blood shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. And where there is forgiveness, there is also life and salvation. There is joy beyond all measure. And thus do we sing of this meal. And oh, a transport of delight from thy pure chalice floweth. In this way was the disciples' sorrow turned into joy. In a little while, they did not see him, but then in a little while, they did see him again. Their joy returned to them, and it was greater than the joy they had before. For now the joy wasn't just before their eyes, it was within them. Jesus went away and came back again, that by his word his joy may now be in you. He has given you of his Spirit, amongst whose manifold fruits is the fruit of joy. Joy which no one can take away. Now you have joy when there are buds on the trees. Joy when it is the dead of winter. Joy when your grain and your wine abound. Joy when the crops fail and the sheep pen is empty. For better, for worse, for richer, for poorer, in sickness and in health, joy. And so the apostles and prophets write, consider it pure joy, brethren, when you face trials of various kinds. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. Eat your food with gladness and drink your wine with a joyful heart, for God has already approved what you do. Clothe yourselves in white robes and anoint your heads with oil. Enjoy life with your wife, the one you love, all the days of your life. Rejoice with your children and sing with your children's children. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. So, my friends, go forth in joy. Spread this joy to the world. The Lord has come. Let earth receive her King. Go forth and come back again to the gathered multitudes, to the congregation of the upright, to the redeemed of the Lord who sing, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. A message which will be on our sign out front. Go forth and come back again. Come to where true joy is found. Where true joy is given. Where true joy is shared in hymn and song. In the doctrine of the apostles who saw the Lord, in the fellowship of saints, in the breaking of the bread, shared here in the prayers. Yes, this is the place amongst your brethren where you have learned to say, this is the day which the Lord has made. Let us rejoice. This joy no one can take from you. And in a little while, you will see him yourself face to face. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We stand to sing the